Luke chapter 2, verses 40 through 52. This is the reading of God's word. The child continued to grow and become strong, increasing in wisdom, and the grace of God was upon him. Now his parents went to Jerusalem every year at the feast of the Passover. And when he became 12, they went up there according to the custom of the feast. And as they were returning after spending the full number of days, the boy Jesus stayed behind in Jerusalem, but his parents were unaware of it, but supposed him to be in the caravan, and went on a day's journey, and they began looking for him among their relatives and acquaintances. When they did not find him, they returned to Jerusalem looking for him. Then after 3 days, they found him in the temple, sitting in the midst of the teachers, both listening to them and asking them questions. And all who heard him were amazed at his understanding and his answers. When they saw him, they were astonished. And his mother said to him, "Son, why have you treated us this way? Behold, your father and I have been anxiously looking for you." And he said to them, "Why is it that you were looking for me? Did you not know that I had to be in my father's house?" But they did not understand the statement which he had made to them. And he went down with them and came to Nazareth, and he continued in subjection to them, and his mother treasured all these things in her heart. And Jesus kept increasing in wisdom and stature and in favor with God and men. Amen. Let us pray together. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this precious time of hearing your word. Grant us an ear to hear your word so that we may truly hear your word, and that word, your word, will cause our faith to grow and cause us to grow more like Jesus Christ every single moment. And Father, through your word, let us see what your Son has done. What is our heavenly reality in him right now? And let us enjoy his presence with us as we hear your word. Bless us that your word will be preached correctly, and all of us will not only believe but also obey. Let us live that holy life that you have called us to live. We pray that you and you alone will receive all the glory. Pray all this in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Well, as we read in chapter 2, our Lord is growing up. And as the Messiah, as the representative of his people, he lives the perfect righteous life. Last time we saw Jesus going to the temple to be presented to the Lord as the firstborn. That story ends with verse 40. The child continued to grow and become strong, increasing in wisdom, and the grace of God was upon him. And in our passage for today, we see Jesus Christ going to the temple when he is 12 years old. And this story ends with verse 52, which is similar to verse 40, and with verse 52, chapter 2 ends, and we'll end this chapter today. And Jesus kept increasing in wisdom and stature and in favor with God and men. Jesus' circumcision and his presentation to the Lord all were according to the law of the Lord. Verses 23a, as it is written in the law of the Lord. As you could see, Jesus obeys the law perfectly as he grows up. Now let's look at verse 41. And his parents went to Jerusalem every year at the feast of the Passover. And when he became 12, they went up there according to the custom of the feast. We could see here Joseph and Mary, they went up to Jerusalem temple every feast of the Passover. We do not know whether Jesus accompanied them every year, But our verse tells us that he did when he was 12 years old. Exodus 23, verse 14, three times a year you shall celebrate a feast to me, God says. Three times a year. You shall observe the feast of unleavened bread. For 7 days you are to eat unleavened bread as I commanded you at the appointed time in the month of Abib. For in it you came out of Egypt, and none shall appear before me empty-handed. Also you shall observe the feast of the harvest of the first fruits of your labor from what you sow in the field. Also the feast of ingathering at the end of the year when you gather in the fruit of your labor from the field. Three times a year all you males shall appear before the Lord God. So as you could see, it was God's command for all Israelites, males, must go to the temple three times a year. First, the feast of unleavened bread for 7 days. The first day of those 7 days was the Passover. So simply we call that Passover. Second, feast of the harvest, or the feast of weeks, or the Pentecost. And the third, the feast of ingathering, or the feast of booths, or feast of tabernacle. So you heard these names. And these three were called the pilgrim festivals, because they must go to the temple to appear before the Lord three times a year. At the time of Jesus, even going to the temple just once a year was very difficult for the most of the Israelites. For many, they went to the temple just once in their lifetime. And for those who just went once in their lifetime, they chose to go to the temple at the time of Passover. So in our passage, we are told that Jesus went to the temple when he was 12. The Israelites at 13, they are considered as adults who are now old enough to obey the law. So they are at 13, they are responsible to obey the law. So they were considered as son of the law or son of the covenant. Even today, the Jewish people call bar mitzvah at 13. It means son of the commandments, which started after the time of Jesus, but has the same meaning as what we see here. Now, the Bible does not say that women must go to the temple during the pilgrim festivals, but those who do go to the temple are considered very pious. So far from what we read in the book of Luke, Joseph and Mary seem very devout, and we are able to see their desire to obey the law of God as much as possible. And Jesus grew up obeying the law of God. And this is very important, because it is through his perfect obedience to the law in our places we are called righteous in the sight of God. His righteousness is imputed to us through our faith that God has given to us. And of course, his blood that he has shed on the cross for our sins cleansed our sins. Now if we go to Luke chapter 9, start reading from verse 51 all the way to chapter 19, verse 28. And I hope that before we go to next book, that I would like to go up to chapter 19, because that's one unit there. Well, in those verses, we see Jesus going from Nazareth in Galilee to Jerusalem to die for his people. But in this Luke chapter 2, we see two previews of that journey. Verses 21 to 39, when he was an infant, he went to the temple. And our passage for today, verses 41 to 51, when he was 12 years old, he also went to the temple. And in chapter 9, we see him making another trip when he was an adult. So three times, at least in the book of Luke, we see Jesus going to the temple. As an infant, we see him obeying the law. As a child, 12 years old, we see him knowing the law. And as an adult, we see him fulfilling the law. And this is his life. Luke chapter 2, verse 43 to 47. And as they were returning after spending the full number of days, the boy Jesus stayed behind in Jerusalem. But his parents were unaware of it, but supposed him to be in caravan and went a day's journey. And they began looking for him among their relatives and acquaintances. When they did not find him, they returned to Jerusalem looking for him. Then after 3 days, they found him in the temple sitting in the midst of the teachers, both listening to them and asking them questions. And all who heard him were amazed at his understanding and his answers. It says, after spending the full number of days, meaning after spending not just the Passover, but also the Feast of the Unleavened Bread, 7 days long. Now they are returning to Nazareth. At the time, people would travel together, as we are able to see in our passage. They travel with neighbors and relatives together. That's how they do that. Joseph and Mary just presumes that Jesus is in the group as they departed. But Jesus stayed behind in Jerusalem. And only after a day's journey, Joseph and Mary realized that Jesus is missing. And only after that time, Joseph and Mary were looking for him and returned to Jerusalem. It says after 3 days, perhaps 3 days after leaving Jerusalem to go to Nazareth. But they find him in the temple. Verse 46b says, sitting in the midst of the teachers, both listening to them and asking them questions. And verse 47, and all who heard him were amazed at his understanding and his answers. Even the teachers of the law were amazed. But later, if you keep reading the book of Luke, chapter 22, verse 1 and 2, on his next trip to Jerusalem when he was adult, we read, now the feast of unleavened bread, the same feast, which is called the Passover, was approaching, and the chief priests and the scribes were seeking how they might put him to death, for they were afraid of the people. It was also at the Feast of Unleavened Bread, which is called the Passover, the same teachers of the law in chapter 2 are included in the Jews who are seeking to kill Jesus Christ. Move on to verse 48. When they saw him, they were astonished. And his mother said to him, Son, why have you treated us this way? Behold, your father and I have been anxiously looking for you. And he said to them, why is it that you are looking for me? Did you not know that I had to be in my father's house? But they did not understand the statement which he had made to them. Joseph and Mary, after finding Jesus and seeing what he was doing, it says they were astonished. And Mary says to Jesus as if she is scolding him. Verse 48, Son, why have you treated us this way? Behold, your father and I have been anxiously looking for you. Anxiously looking for Jesus. She was really worried. We are reminded of what Simeon said to Mary in Luke chapter 2, verse 35, and a sword will pierce even your own soul. On Jesus' later visit to Jerusalem as an adult, as he dies on the cross for the sins of his people, that sword piercing will reach the climax. Here, some might see that Jesus has done wrong, not really listening to his parents and worrying his parents. But you and I, we already know Jesus cannot sin. He did not sin. Then how are we to understand this story? Obeying parents is very, very important. But obeying God is more important. If it is between obeying our parents and obeying God, we must obey God. And it's not an option. Jesus says to them, "Why is it that you were looking for me? Did you not know that I had to be in my Father's house?" Mary said to him, "Your father and I have been looking." Your father, meaning Joseph. At this, Jesus says, "I had to be in my Father's house." My Father, meaning his heavenly Father. As you could see, there is the earthly Father and there is the heavenly Father. We must always obey the heavenly Father first. Because Jesus, he came to do his heavenly Father's will. And he told us in various places that that is so. Even in Luke chapter 22, verse 42, saying, "Father, if you are willing, remove this cup from me, yet not my will, but yours be done." John 4:34, Jesus said to them, "My food is to do the will of him who sent me and accomplish his work." My Father, Jesus testifies that he is the Son of God. In Luke chapter 1 and chapter 2, the angels testify that Jesus is the Son of God. The shepherds testified that Jesus is the Son of God. Simeon also testified that Jesus is the Son of God. And also Anna testified that Jesus is the Son of God. And now at age 12, Jesus himself testifies that he is the Son of God. Later, when he is 30 years old, when he was being baptized, his father, the God the Father, testifies, Luke chapter 3, verse 22, "And the Holy Spirit descended upon him in bodily form like a dove, and voice came out of heaven, 'You are my beloved Son, in you I am well pleased.'" Did you not know that I had to be in my Father's house? Now, this Greek, the Father's house, the word house itself is not in there. You could translate that differently. So if you go to different translation, you could see that they did not always translate it as my Father's house. New King James has it, "Did you not know that I must be about my Father's business?" So you could understand that sentence in those two ways. Did you not know that I had to be in my Father's house? Or did you not know that I must be about my Father's business? In Matthew 16, we see Jesus telling his disciples that he has to be captured and be killed. At this, Peter rebukes him and says in Matthew chapter 16, verse 22, "God forbid it, Lord. This shall never happen to you." Then Jesus says in Matthew 16:23, "Get behind me, Satan. You are a stumbling block to me. You are not setting your mind on God's interests, but man's." And that's the point. God's interest or man's interest. We must set our mind on God's interest. Jesus came to do God's work. This is more important and superior to being an obedient son to Joseph and Mary. And we're not saying that Jesus disobeyed them. It's just obeying God is first. When we read verse 50, we could see Joseph and Mary do not fully understand. Why did you treat us like this? Why did you do what you did? Even though Jesus said to them, they did not understand. And if we read the rest of the book of Luke, the disciples also do not understand. In fact, unless the Holy Spirit works in us, no one will understand. Not that you have a special earthly relationship with Jesus that you understand. Not that you saw a sign and miracle that you understand. No, only by the illumination of the Holy Spirit through God's Word. Yeah, Mary was Jesus' mom. And yet she did not understand. And we don't know how much she understood at the end, but we could kind of say when we are looking at even our lives, we grow in faith, grow in knowledge. But that is the work of the Holy Spirit. Luke chapter 2, verse 51 and 52, this is how the chapter 2 ends, and he went down with them and came to Nazareth, and he continued in subjection to them, and his mother treasured all these things in her heart. And Jesus kept increasing in wisdom and stature and in favor with God and men. See, our Lord Jesus Christ, he must obey the law of God perfectly to save us. Now, I want to end with this. You know, what are we learning from this passage? Jesus said, "Did you not know that I must be about my Father's business? That's who I am? That's what I am? That's how he lives. Don't you know that I am about my Father's business?" We must entrust all things to our God and do the business of our Heavenly Father. And this is the life of our Lord Jesus Christ. Let me read to you once again, John chapter 4, verse 34. Jesus said to them, "My food is to do the will of Him who sent me and to accomplish His work." Jesus knows who He is. He knows why He came. He knows what His purpose is. And we could see this from his words. Luke chapter 4, verse 43. "I must preach the kingdom of God to the other cities also, for I was sent for this purpose." Luke chapter 9, verse 22. "The Son of Man must suffer many things and be rejected by the elders and chief priests and scribes and be killed and be raised up on the third day." Luke chapter 13, verse 13. I'm 33, "Nevertheless, I must journey on today and tomorrow and the next day, for it cannot be that a prophet would perish outside Jerusalem." Luke chapter 17, verse 25, "But first he must suffer many things and be rejected by this generation." Luke chapter 22, verse 37, "For I tell you that which is written must be fulfilled in me, and he was numbered with transgressors, for that which refers to me has its fulfillment." Luke 22, verse 44, "Now he said to them, 'These are my words which I spoke to you while I was still with you, that all things which are written about me in the law of Moses and the prophet and Psalms must be fulfilled.'" Must be fulfilled. Why? Why must be fulfilled? Because it is the will of God. Now, I'm here to tell you that the same is true of you and me. God gave us the Bible. In it, He revealed to us His will. And we are to do His will. This is who we are. This is what our life is all about. Our life is a participation in the life of our Lord Jesus Christ. Like I said before, God has revealed His will to us through His Word. All must be according to His Word. That is His will. And we are born and we are saved according to His will and to do His will. In Christ, we have become His people who would do His will, and that is your life in heaven. You will do everything according to His will in heaven. And that life has already begun. We must witness that reality. You know, the world will ask you. Oh, they will ask you, why have you treated us this way? Like Mary, they will ask you, what are you doing? Why do you do that way? Why? They might even say Sunday morning, why you go to church? Why you prepare yourself so that you could come on time, so that you be ready to worship God? Why? They will ask. And you will simply answer, did you not know that I must be about my Father's business? Don't you know that I'm a Christian? And this is the way that the Bible tells me I should live? Do you have any other questions? This is how we live. You let them know. That you let them know who you are and what you are and what is important to you. That you will not compromise whatsoever because it's God's will. You tell them that. And if they don't like it, well, then it's tough. Because I will not compromise just to be liked by the world. Just so that I could have so many friends and so many people say I'm a good person. Really doesn't matter. Did you not know that I must be about my Father's business? Don't you know that? And if you are, you know, grown up, you say, by this time, you should know that I'm all about my Father's business. What do you mean you're looking for me? Sunday morning, you know I'm going to be at church. What do you mean you're going to look for me? You already know where I'm going to be on Sunday morning. And nothing will change that. Unless I'm just so sick that I cannot get up or whatever. Jesus, He even looks bad talking back to His parents. He didn't even say, I'm sorry that I didn't even tell you that I was going to stay at the temple. I'm sorry, Mom. He didn't even say that. Because he was so sure it was God's will. And when it comes to God's will, we do. It takes certain person, Christian, to do His will, no matter what. You tell your friends, your family, you let them know that when it comes to you, it's all about Jesus's business. Not your earthly business. Oh, God says, don't worry about what to eat, what to wear, what to drink. But Jesus' business, that's what we are about. Participate in this life, Jesus' life. To Jesus, doing the will of God was more important than obeying His earthly parents. And it is the same with us. You are first God's son, then second, your father's, your mother's son. Do you understand? That Heavenly Father is your true father, then your earthly father. And even your earthly father will not be your father when you get to heaven. You will only have one father in heaven, and that is our God, God the Father. But until we go heaven, God has called us to obey your earthly father, but only in Christ. I pray at least you guys will let everybody know around you that you are all about God's business. Brothers and sisters, you know, only reason I say this so strongly is because I'm behind this pulpit. I'm not saying I'm better than you. I'm not saying I live like this and you are not, and here I am scolding you. That's not what I'm saying. I'm just telling you what God says. Don't you think it's about time we show what Christianity is all about? What being a Christian is all about? That your mom, your dad, your family, your friend, your relative, they should know what Christian is all about? Let them know. And not just let them know with your words, but with your life. You let them know that this is what I am about. It's about Christ. And it's about obeying Him. Yes, we fail miserably, but you stand up again. And you let Him know again. In this world, for us, more than being a parent, more than being a son, more than being a daughter, more than being a husband, more than being a wife, more than being a friend, more than any of that, doing the will of God is more important and more joyous. This is what Christian life is all about. This is the joy of Christianity. And try it. You know, very first time might be hard, but it gets much easier and much more joyous. Tell the whole world who you are. But the world will never understand. Never. But doesn't matter to us. You let them know. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, we thank you. We thank you for saving us from sin and from this world. We thank you for making us the citizen of your kingdom. Adopting us as your sons and marrying us, the holy, blameless bride of Jesus Christ. Oh, Father, let everybody know, and you would use us to let them know what your Son Jesus Christ has done, and because of what He has done and accomplished, your people have become certain people with certain purpose. And Father, be with us that we may be able to let everybody know around us that what our lives are all about is all about your business. It's all about your will. We thank you. Pray all this in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.